the joke in our family, though, is that I get upset about, like, little things, like my coffee not being right. Mm-hmm. But when it's the tumors growing, I'm like, oh, God's got that. Yeah. And Keith, my husband's like, wait, what? Like, let's put this into perspective. And I'm like, it is. My coffee was really important. And that was like...
Just remember, when you think about your coffee next time, ask yourself this. Where was God in that moment?
Oh, so true.
He was in your coffee cup.
He was guiding me to use my gentleness and my response.
This weekend, you're going to go to your coffee cup. I'm like, go to that worst moment in your life.
Oh,
and
my coffee.
That's Starbucks.
Starbucks. I got my order wrong.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit, do better. So together we can be a little better. Well, welcome to A Little Better. So glad to have you here. So glad to have you at week one of a brand new series called Mindfield. And also so great to have Jess Kelvitis. Did I say it right?
I always struggle
with the pronunciation.
I never say it right, so I've just gone with my pronunciation.
It's the only reason I'm here. Drew said, Brad, can you be on the podcast and say Jess's name right? But Jess, so great to have you. Many people at Northridge are familiar with your story. Not everyone is, and not everyone listening to this podcast, so we'll get to that in a moment. But this is week one of 4 weeks we are spending
six.
Was it six?
Oh, I thought it was eight.
Wow.
I'm really glad we're having this podcast.
Okay. It is clarify. 6 weeks.
This is why we're here.
Who knows what God's going to do, right?
So we're really looking forward to you guys getting to meet Jess, but just to frame things up, Drew, you kicked off an incredible week, week one. How about giving us your sermon in 60?
Yeah, we basically just stated that your mind is powerful. It has the ability to transform who you are. And so what you're thinking about and the thoughts that you have a significant impact on who you become and the trajectory of your life. And so we basically talked about the struggle we have in our mind. Like, we lack peace of mind. And so mm-hmm. I offered 4 strategies to help in the struggle of your mind. Those 4 strategies are: you observe your thoughts, you pray your thoughts, you rest your thoughts, and then you repair your thoughts. They all come from a great book, Still and Quiet Mind by Esther Smith. And so just really a beginning intro to our minds to set us up for the next 5 weeks of the struggles we have in our minds.
Yeah, I love it. Week one, we're really getting a framework. Weeks 2 through 6, apparently, we get to apply that framework, right?
We do, yes.
To a number of different issues. But yeah, just loved your message. And let me go ahead and introduce Jess at this point. So Jess, so glad to have you.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, a lot of people got to meet you, Keith, Luke, at Easter.
Yes.
Taylor, our producer, you know, does incredible work on video. A great work on the Mindfield bumper, by the way. Yeah. That was great. If you've done video, then you know how hard it is. So I just like, just in awe of the work that the team here does. But Taylor was in your home.
Yes.
In Easter and got to film you guys doing life together and telling your story. But for those who weren't there, can you just introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about what's...
Yeah, so as Brad said, I'm Jess Kelvitis, and my story, I feel like really started to take a highlight back in 2018. I was diagnosed with cancer when I was pregnant with our son, Luke, and it was obviously really shaking for our family. It really shook my faith, honestly. Also, I had been a believer my whole life and really just started to, like, you know, question sometimes, like, why is this happening? All of these things. I had surgery when I was pregnant with our son. We thought that was kind of the end of our cancer story. So there was celebration, a lot of excitement. Then back in 21, my cancer came back in my back. And it was really hard because I was like, I thought we kind of had done this. Then actually just last year, my cancer came back again. I found out I had a brain tumor last July. And this past year has been really hard on physically. I'm on a new chemo regimen. I had to do some radiation and really just a lot of mindset work. So when Drew and I were, you know, initially talking about like what this series was going to be, I was like, I would love to share because I've been presented with a lot of opportunities to examine my thoughts, to examine the truth in God's word in my really hard situation of like cancer. And people that are listening, like, don't compare my hard with your hard. You might be going through something that is really shaking your faith. And maybe job loss or, you know, fertility issues or other things. And if it feels big to you, it's big to God. And so, because sometimes I share my story and people are like, oh, I'm not going through anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's not a comparison. Yeah. It's, you know, your heart is your heart, and God is there with you. And so I've had to learn and apply a lot of what Drew talked about in the sermon on Sunday of just how do I capture my thoughts? How do I make sure that my thoughts are pure, lovely, admirable? That verse that we just dive into, because the devil can have a heyday, especially when you're going in the hard, because it seems confusing.
Yeah. Every time I read that passage in Philippians, I think of you. One, because when we shot the video, I heard you say it over and over and over again. But I also remember, like, I think the most emotional part, at least for me, watching your video on Easter was when you're like, I tell myself, am I going to be there? Am I going to be there for Luke? Am I going to be there for Keith? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really emotional. And then you're like, nope, I have the choice.
Yes.
I have the strength to choose to focus on what is good, what is lovely. And I think that is often one of the biggest struggles with the mind is like we, even in that stats, 75% of what we think about is negative. It's because it's so easy. It's easy to see darkness. It's easy to see pain. But it's hard, despite all that, to choose to focus on God's goodness, despite, not ignore, but despite the bad.
Yeah. And I loved your last point of like, you know, reframing our thoughts that you talked about and like, where is God, you know? And we, this past week was the start of school and yes, I got to send Luke to kindergarten and everyone was like, how are you doing? How are you doing? And I was able to say, honestly, I'm doing really well. I prayed for this moment. When I was pregnant with him and I didn't know if we were going to make it, if he was going to make it back in 21 when he was 2.5, like, am I going to see him go to kindergarten? Like that was an answer to prayer.
Yeah.
And so because I reframed and was looking for God in that, I was like, this is amazing.
Right.
Like it's hard. It's different, but like, God, I got to see him go to kindergarten. Mm. Like I can find you in this.
I think that's a great example of two differences, right? Most people, I'm guilty of this, right? I got four kids that are going to school. And what am I doing? Like, oh man, this is horrible. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. And that's a mentality in our mind we can take. Or we can say, wow, I got to watch my kids go to fourth, third, second, and, you know, Baylor just be a crazy mess. Same literal
situation,
completely different minefield. Yeah. See what I did there? That's the name of the series.
You know, actually, Jess and I were talking before the podcast. Michael Hyatt had said this years ago, and it's always been sort of a mantra of mine. He talked about just having, like, he had sprained his ankle bad. He was a CEO of a company, but he couldn't leave the house. And I think it was like even before Zoom was really, really big. But his question in all these obstacles is, what does this make possible? So just to think, but also to supercharge that question was like, what is God doing through this in my life? Why did God think this was necessary for my development, for my growth, for my progress? But I'd like to, Drew, I just loved the progress of your message. I didn't even take a lot of notes because I was just so hooked on what you were saying. But when you got to the need, you know, and what God wants for us, you talked about a peace that protects. That was one of the needs. And the other one was, the strength to choose what you think about.
Yep.
So, when you said that, you know, for me, I was like, yes, Lord, please, can I just have some peace from obsessive thoughts and continual thoughts, negative thoughts, discouraging thoughts, you know, the rest of it. But Jess, I'm just kind of curious, as you heard both these needs, so the need, you know, a need for a peace that protects, the power to choose what to think about, and then those strategies, those solutions, you field tested these things, right?
I mean, yes.
how do those ring true? Are those helpful? Tell us about where you've gone with that.
Yeah, one of the practical things that has really helped me is initially, so I've been working through mindset things for about 2.5-3 years. And so I want to encourage the person, like, this is week one, right, of Mindfield, and it's a 6-week series that we've confirmed, that you may have some breakthroughs in the 6 weeks, but this is a continual process.
Yeah.
Like, the habits of thinking that are intruding our thoughts have been part of who you are for 20 years, 30 years. And so, like, don't go into this expecting, like, immediate results. Like, sure. That, like, you're gonna, like, just be fixed and all of your thoughts of, like, your habits of thinking are just changed. And so, for me, some of the practical things that I have had to apply is speaking the truth out loud. And what is my thought? And, inviting God into it. One of Drew's points is to pray your thoughts. And that is so powerful. I have a very specific situation that I remember after I'd found out I had a brain tumor. I mean, the chaos, the fear, all of the things, like a simple, am I going to wake up tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Like, is this, like, what is happening? And I just remember crying out to God in bed, just scared and being like, God, these are the thoughts I'm thinking. Like, this is what's happening inside my mind. I know from Hebrews that you will never leave me or forsake me. So please meet me here. Mm-hmm. Meet me here and invite him into your thoughts. And that was so, I just remember physically feeling peace rush over my body. Mm-hmm. And my situation didn't change. I still had a brain tumor. I still, you know, my outside circumstances hadn't changed, but my inward perspective, and I think that's where the strength comes from, is I can now have the strength to face the next day. I now have the strength for that because I invited Christ into it. And I think, Drew, you allude to this in your sermon that, like, we aren't meant to do this alone. It's not just willpower.
Yeah.
We need to invite Christ into it. Mm-hmm. And we are limited. And so if I try to do this without Christ, I'm going to fail. Mm-hmm. But when I can invite Christ into it and his unlimited resources of strength, endurance, patience, self-control, I then can exude those things in my life. And so simply speaking my thoughts out loud, like, that's being the observer. And in Esther's book that Drew's really digging into, she talks about your thoughts being like a train and how you get to step off the train and observe them. And that's just a really powerful image. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners or viewers watched Inside Out too. And there's, like, the train of consciousness, like, and it just, like, visually thinking, like, a really powerful truth that I heard was, like, I am not my thoughts.
Yeah.
And so to disassociate and be able to, like, let me observe these, like, let me, like, look at these, test, are they true? Are they helpful? Like, those things that Drew talked about in the sermon is just really speaking it out is really helpful.
Yeah. I also think, like, we have to recognize how powerful, I don't think the average person thinks about how powerful their thoughts are and how they are posturing your life, who you are, and how they're setting a trajectory. I think we just think what is not seen, what is in my head, isn't that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Craig Rochelle in the book Winning the War in Your Mind, and even Elia Crumb, wake us up to the fact that, like, no, your thoughts change reality, right? Even in just the placebo effect, right? People's literal health changed just thinking they were being treated. And that's how powerful your mind is. And the worst thing you want is someone to wait until, you know, they have cancer to do this journey, right? Yeah. Like, I would encourage people right now, hopefully life is going good. Like, recognize the power of your thoughts. Recognize this now. Mm-hmm. So when circumstances, when life flips upside down, you're not like, oh, now I need peace. No, get the peace before you have to walk through this storm.
Absolutely. And that's why, like, when we talk about meditation, I think a lot of people think it's just emptying your mind, like just make it completely empty. But meditation is really filling your mind with God's truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's what set Keith and I up for success in our thought process. I mentioned it in the Easter video, but like, we were memorizing scripture. Like, we were memorizing, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And mm-hmm. so I hear this word, I get the phone call. Yes, it is cancer. But what I had been meditating on, what had been filling my thoughts, was rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You know, the Lord is near. And then the end of that scripture says, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever mm-hmm. is pure, lovely, and admirable. And so I had that in me. So I think it's a great idea to do it when life is going good. Yeah. So then when life gets hard, you've set yourself up for success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I think that's incredible. Yeah, I love that idea of observing your thoughts was your first strategy. I guess Esther's strategy. But you mentioned being able to step off the train and observe the train. You know, not get in front of the train and try to stop it.
Yes.
Right? Not trying to turn it in another direction. Just be stepping off that train and saying, huh. You know, kind of, you know, observing it. And part of that observation, I imagine, Drew, you had just mentioned so briefly in your message, I really would like to hear a bit more about journaling. You, I think you said something like a very simple, you know, method, and we all wanted the method or whatever. So tell us more about what's the simple approach? How has it been helpful for you?
Yeah, so I've always wanted to be a journaler, and I've never been able to accomplish it. Right. You can ask my wife. I've got journals in our house that have my initials on it, that have like four pages full of journaling and then it's empty. And like, I just assumed if I bought a cooler, newer journal, it would fix the problem.
Yes.
And so with our creative team, we read this book. I don't even remember the name of it. It was the most unique, smallest, simplest
book. Steal Like an Artist.
Something like that. Steal Like an Artist. And he talks kind of about his struggle with journaling. And then he shows this method of like, all he does is basically write like the highs and lows of his day. So like as a family, we sit down at we eat dinner as a family every day. And one of the things we always do at dinner is we say, hey, tell us your high, your low, and we say your buffalo. Okay, so high is like the best part of your day, low is the worst part of your day, and your buffalo is anything wild and crazy about your day. So one of the reasons why we say buffalo is because we call Malachi's nickname from his grandfather is Buffalo, so we use that. So anyway, he's just like, journal that, right? Like, write your highs and lows to God. And so literally, all I do is put the date, and I write whatever made me happy that day. Literally, it can be, I watched the Cowboys win. Like, literally, you can read my journal.
A miracle.
Ate dinner with my family. It was sweet. Like, so I have like four or five bullets. Mm-hmm. And then I have on the next page, the prayers. It's almost me processing my thoughts to God. Like, God, intervene for this family. God, be with our church. God, you know, and it's not long, lengthy. Like, and I think it's going to be really cool. I have this image in my head of like, you know, when I'm 80 or when I'm dead, my kids come and stumble upon these books and they just reading through like, Dad took us to ice cream. I remember that, you know, like, so it's very simple. I do it before I go to bed. I lay in bed. I grab my little book. It's not very cool. It's just white pages. And I just write down my highs and lows and buffaloes.
Highs, lows, and buffaloes. And I think that there's power in the pen with journaling. And if you're not a good journaler, like, take this tip, because our memories are faulty. And so when we are going back and trying to see God in a situation that was really hard, it might not be easy, but if we journal the high and a low, it's a lot easier. And the Old Testament talks about, like, they put statues up to remember. And so when you walk past it, you'd see the statue or the rocks or whatever they did for remembrance. And I think that that's why journaling is so important, because our memories are weak. They're feeble.
They lie to us.
Yeah, and they lie. And so you can write it down. And I'll never forget, and I was in a Bible study, and a woman came up to me. It was right after I found out I had my brain tumor. And she was like, the devil cannot mess with the faithfulness that God has brought you to this point. He can try to mess with your future, your what ifs. Like, if you go down those paths, like, that's like free reign for the devil to just mess you up. But if you look back, like, that is done. And so the devil cannot mess with that. And that was so powerful to me. And that really helped, like, strengthen my journaling, because I wanted to be able to go back and be like, God was there. There he was. I wrote it down.
Yeah, there's actually a journal. So in this journaling journey, I started literally probably like 2 months ago. There's a journal out there. It's on Amazon. I don't know what it's called, but you can look at it. It's a 5-year journal. And so basically it is like a simple journal, but like you go back every year for 5 years and you write from this year, right next to it, you write that year. And so it like shows you God's faithfulness through the years
versus
like, I'd have to go, I'm going to get it. Cause right now I just have a singular book, but like they're side by side. So like, as you go through, you're reading back on last year and be like, oh, I was praying for this. God did this.
Yes.
Maybe not the way I thought he was going to, but he did it.
He's a God of surprises.
Yeah, he is. There's no doubt.
No doubt. None of us knew the script ahead of time. That is for sure. Well, listen, this has been incredible. Drew, I love your practical advice. For me, it always spins out of control. So it's like, oh, I'm going to journal, you know, and it's just like, I'm going to write I'm going to write 4 or 5 pages. I mean, same journey, right? Where it just, I'm going to do a prayer system and it's going to be massive. It's going to, you know, and the whole thing comes crashing down. But thank you for that encouragement, for those small, faithful, simple steps. For either of you, I know this is kind of a blindside question, but, and Jess, I know you've just thought about this stuff. Is there any last thought you would like to like sign off with? You know, hey, if you forget everything else we talked about, please remember such and such. Anything occur to either of you on that?
I think for me, I think a great place for people to start is to just examine and observe their thoughts. I think a lot of people don't even realize what's going on in their head. I think a huge piece, I like that imagery that Esther does, step off the train and look and examine your thoughts and then be like, it might make a little more sense where you are and why you got there. And examine, like, hey, is what I think about mostly negative? Are 75% of my thoughts actually doing damage, hurting me? And am I thinking about what is, you know, lovely and pure and kind and admirable and praiseworthy and excellence? Like, where's my focus?
Excellent. Jess, any thoughts?
Yeah. So my last thought would be to go into this and give yourself grace. This is going to be new for a lot of people. The scripture that really came to mind is, I believe it's Romans. Therefore, there is no condemnation, therefore, for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so as you are stepping off the train and examining your thoughts, be open to conviction, but do not feel condemned. God is going to meet you with grace and mercy. Drew talks about that from Esther's book of like, God is for you. And so there are things that we do need to change to grow and be more like him, but don't go, like, give yourself grace. Do not feel condemned in this process, and don't feel like you have to get it right. Like, how you process your thoughts might look a little different than how we process our thoughts. So just go in not thinking you have to get an A plus, like, you know, like, I'm going to nail this. You're probably going to fail the first few times you try this, but you can learn from it and you can grow from it. And so just have an open mindset and just remember that Christ is for you, and to not be condemned, but to be open to some maybe holy conviction to what you're thinking and how Christ thinks about you.
Yeah, excellent. I love those challenges. It's been such a joy to chat with you guys, just to sit back and listen. Thanks, Jess, for sharing your journey. We'll continue. I mean, what a surprise, you know, each day brings. But thank you for that perspective. You're such an encouragement. Mm. I know God is using your story just powerfully in our church. Thanks, Drew. And please come back next week. If I am correct, week two will be on relationships.
Yep.
So I think what we've talked about here, boy, start applying that. That's amazing. But God has given us each other. You're definitely going to want to be back to hear how we can win this battle together.